You are now watching Islam. Dum, 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 dum,
dum. لله عبادا فطنا طلقوا الدنيا وخافوا الفتنا نظروا فيها فلما علموا أنها ليست لحي وطنا جعلوها لجة واتخذوا صالح الأعمال فيها سفنا, 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 سفنا إن لله عبادا فطنا طلقوا الدنيا وخافوا الفتنا.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم. Actually, brothers and sisters in Islam, and sometimes I sit and think as to how have I become a Muslim? Why am I a Muslim? What was the path that led me to Islam? The reasons that I am sitting here today speaking to you. And only about 9 years ago, I was doing... Well, in that time, I was really searching, but if you go a little bit back, let's say 11 years or 12 years, I was doing totally different things. So I think about how come, after 9/11, for example, all the media distortion that took place of Islam, still Islam entered my heart. And sometime even today, I look at new Muslims and I say, SubhanAllah, how come they became Muslim? After all those things that people put out there about Islam, still people are coming to Islam. And I remember very well how I felt at that time and how I was looking at Islam. But the image was changing slowly as Allah was guiding me. And we need to understand what does it mean when we say God guides us. Right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He guides whom He wills. And this is a very important statement. Is Allah just picking like this guy? No. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually knows as He is Al-Alim and Al-Hakim and Al-Qadir. And He knows, He's the all-knowing. He is the all-wise. He is the all-able. And He knows exactly who deserves to be guided, who sincerely wants truth in their hearts. And this is something very important, the statement that whoever Allah wants to guide, He guides whomever He wills. يَحْدِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, as it says in the Quran. So we look at it from an interesting point of view. Yes, people make choices, without a doubt. People have been given freedom of choice. Allah has given every single one of us freedom of choice to choose this or that. Look and weigh the pros and cons of things. Look at the proofs of things. At the other side though, there are many people who, specifically when it comes to Islam, have looked at Islam and then said, well, I can't say anything really against it. All the proofs are for it. I just can't be a Muslim though. We know, for example, John Esposito, which is a scholar of Islam. He knows more Islam than all of us here, actually. And he's a non-Muslim, he's a Catholic. So you wonder, there's other, in the literature of the Orientalists, there are people who studied the Arabic, who went and traveled. And there's one statement of one of the people who translated the Quran, a non-Muslim. And he said that he was fighting with himself actually because of the beauty of the Quran. He would sit, obviously not praying, but during Ramadan, he would sit on the balcony in Egypt and listen to the Imam reciting Taraweeh prayer. And he says, I'm being moved left and right and I'm fighting with my heart with the beautiful words of the Imam, of the old Imam, how he recites. And these people they knew what is Islam. They knew what is the Quran. Yet still their hearts were not changed. Finding Islam, brothers and sisters, is not hard. But at the same time, it's not the easiest thing to commit, to come into it, to become a practicing Muslim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I said, He knows exactly each and every one's heart. Every single beat that you have in your heart, that your heart beats, every thought, Allah, He knows. He knows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma fi sudur. He knows what is in the hearts of the people, in the breasts of the people. And He knows, I have to reiterate that, every thought. He knows who's thinking about finding the truth. He knows who is moving away from finding the truth. He knows who's in the back of their minds. They're saying, oh man, this is such an amazing proof. But I don't know, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, what's my mom going to say? My dad, can I stop partying? It's like, oh man, just moving away from it. Allah knows that. But every single person in their life have a point where they're split between making the decision of searching for the truth, searching for God, or of moving away. And usually that's when there's some calamity or some life-changing event. And subhanAllah, I was praying in the masjid yesterday in downtown Abu Dhabi. And I noticed that next to me there's a man, it's Maghrib prayer, and he's not praying properly. It's so obvious. Like, I'm praying, but it's so obvious. It's just like he's sitting down, he's putting his hands like this, he's looking around, you know, he's looking at me. It's like I'm trying to focus, but he's so obvious that he doesn't know how to pray. So after the prayer, I turned to him and I said to him in Arabic, Al-Akh min wain, like, where are you from, you know, my brother? And he didn't understand. Then I tried, then I said, okay. I said, do you speak Arabic, English? Then he didn't understand that. I asked him in Arabic. Then I said in English, do you speak English? And he spoke broken English. I said, where are you from? He said, I'm from Colombia, from South America. I said, okay. He said, is it okay if I'm here? I said, yeah, no problem. Come, please. Hello, Saleh. Welcome. He said, actually, I've been passing by this place for 3 weeks. I've been here in Abu Dhabi for 3 weeks. And I've been passing by this place every day. And actually, the masjid is amazing because it's in a building, but it's a glass wall, so you can see through it. So you can see the people praying and everything. So he said, I felt so inquisitive about this, so I decided, should I go in? You know, every 3 weeks, every day, I thought, should I go? And then finally, I decided today to come in. I asked, why today? He said, tomorrow I did some test results, some medical results, and tomorrow I'm getting some other results, and it's very important. I'm sick, and I just feel like praying. He's like, I saw these people praying, so I felt like going in. And you just see the way he was looking at people praying. Not like, kind of like, like he's like, you know, he's like staring. He's totally captivated by the sujood. Literally, this one Emirati guy is praying his sunnah, and he's sitting next to him, like facing him. He's like this, you know. And I wanted him to, you know. I said, no problem. I make him feel comfortable. But what is interesting that he felt that in this point in his life, when he's got a health problem, he saw something, and that opened him towards this. And every single person in this life is at one point or the other faced with this issue, right? We all have some life-changing, we lose someone or someone gets sick. Some people, like I know someone who lost her dog. Her dog died. And she was a revert. About 3, 4, 5 years. Very big, supposedly, day on YouTube. She lost her dog, her puppy. And she apostated from Islam because she lost her dog. Because her question was, how can Allah take my dog away from me? You understand? So some people take it in the negative. They'll say, how can God do this to me? How can God do this to the world that little babies are killed and so on and so forth? Or there's this tsunamis and earthquakes and so on. So some people take it one way and they move away from God. And some people take it a different way. And they find the meaning in all these tests and tribulations as to why are these things happening to us, to the world. Some people are waking up and some people are falling asleep. Okay? So again, it's based on the condition of the heart. Allah knew exactly who is sincere and who is not. And that determines the directions that they will take actually, the choices that they will make, and how open they will be towards the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in a beautiful ayah, Surah 6, 125, just amazing ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فمن يريد الله أن يهديه يشرح صدره للإسلام ومن يريد أن يضله يجعل صدره ضيقا هرجا كأنما يصعد في السماء كذلك يجعل الله الرجس على الذين لا يؤمنون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to guide, من يريد الله أن يهديه, whoever Allah wants to guide him, he opens, he expands their chest. Pay attention, because this ayah is very, very deep actually. And whoever Allah wants to misguide, he makes his chest ضيقه. ضيق, it means constricted. It closes. It's hard. As if he were to climb to the skies. As he were to elevate. Keep this in mind. SubhanAllah, we know very well that the heart is one of the most important parts in our body. When you feel happy, when you feel like you're on the truth, when you feel sincerity in your life, you feel like your heart is expanded. You can breathe easily, right? When you have some problems, when you have some issues in your life, you feel like your heart is someone just squeezing it. True? But look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. كَأَنَّمَا يَصْعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. يَصْعَدُ يعني means to go up to the sky. This is amazing. Actually, this is one of the miracles of the Quran, that each word is used perfectly. Because why does Allah doesn't give any simile, any mithal, any example just for no reason. Allah gives each and every mithal, every example in the Quran for the people to ponder. Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not? تَدَبَّر means to ponder. You cannot read the Quran, brothers and sisters. Whoever is reading the Quran and does not ponder upon its meanings is really, subhanAllah, I'm not saying you're wasting your time, because there's benefit and blessing in reading the Quran just by reading it. But you're losing. You're losing. You are only taking part of the benefit. We need to do tadabbur. We need to think. We need to sit with these ayahs and try to understand them. Look at this ayah, brothers and sisters. Do you know what happens when you go at high altitudes? Mountaineers, when they climb mountains, you know what happens? What happens? The chest is actually constricted. Why? Because of the difference in pressure. Okay? The higher you go, okay, the less pressure there is, because the amount of air is not there. Are you going away from it? So basically, the less there, the more your chest constricts. Why? What happens is your body's trying to accustom and is trying to basically take in fast breaths, like you're hyperventilating. And this happens, you're basically your chest, your lungs constrict. So you can, your blood will flow, will take small oxygen doses and take it fast and come back fast. It's basically increased. So actually exactly what happens is that the word, the perfect word, is that it becomes ضيق. It constricts. Now, no one could ever know this. This is actually a law of physics. No one could ever know, because they didn't have mountains that high, for example, in Medina or Mecca, that you can notice this. This is only noticed around 3,000, 5,000 feet, actually 5,000 feet and more. Okay? So none of the mountains in Medina are around that height. So this could not be known. And even then, you cannot... So this is actually one of the miracles of the Quran, that we talk a lot about the perfect words that are used. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whoever He wants to guide, He will open their heart to Islam. And whoever He wants to lead astray, their chest, their heart, their breast, their lungs will constrict. Now, brothers and sisters, this lecture is about advice to new Muslims. Now, a lot of us might be Muslims, born Muslims, but this applies to you too. Why? Because at one point in your life, you made a decision. You've basically converted to Islam. You basically decided that today I'm going to start practicing Islam. And guess what? This is exactly what someone who becomes Muslim. So you've actually, you know, you're Muslim, but you were not committed to it. So you came back to the deen. You started practicing the deen. You have converted your ideas and your ways of looking at Islam and have decided to practice Islam. So this applies to you very well. And at the beginning, new Muslims usually, one of the first things that they're faced with is, should I become Muslim? What will my family, friends say? I'll have to change my life, give up parties, girls, boys, relationships, etc. There's all these questions that are in your mind. Can I commit? Can I do this? I mean, you've been used. SubhanAllah. Some people, Allahu Akbar, become Muslim when they're 75, 80, 85. I'm sure most of you have seen Brother Eddie from the Deen Show. He interviewed one of the, I think he was like 85 or 90, who took Shahada at like the age of 85 or 90. SubhanAllah. Their whole life, imagining kufr. Their whole life, they're away from the truth. How hard is it? Imagine, you're close to your death. So, a lot of times these questions pop up. In the youth, specifically, when it comes to youth, the issues of enjoying your life. My brother always says, he's a non-Muslim, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide him. My brother always says, you know, you only have one life, live it up. And we know that a lot of people have the same philosophy, right? You only have one life, live it up, live it up, live it up. Okay. What about after? Well, you know, as the Quran says, the Quraysh should say, we will become bones and dust. Can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us? And Allah tells it. He gives them the example of the rain coming from the sky. You see the earth, you see it yourself, dead, nothing. Sometimes in the desert, man, sand. And it rains, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a sprout of green comes up in the middle of nowhere. From the dead it became alive. Allah is trying to point to people. You think it's hard for me to bring you up when you're bones and dust? He can do it. So He's putting people to understand, to think that Allah will be able to do it, and that you will be on not even just the resurrection, but the Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Hisab, the accountability, the judgment. What day? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَقٌّ يُنْجِيهِ وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُصْفِرَةٌ ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ. Allahu Akbar. What day? A man will flee from his brother, from his mother, from his father, from his wife, his children. The faces, some faces will be bright, laughing. Some will be dark. What kind of day is that? Imagine people being resurrected, living a life away from truth. There's no more turning back. That's the time when people will say, oh Allah, send us back so we can work something good. Send us back so we can do something good. Be too late. Pharaoh, when he was chasing Moses, Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, through the sea, when he saw it coming, he said, now I believe. No, too late. It was too late. So we don't want it to be too late. brothers and sisters. Yes, there's many questions for non-Muslims who are close to Islam, for new Muslims, for existing Muslims who have come back to Islam. What, this, that, why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever fears Allah, He will make for him a way. And you think that, khalas, what am I going to do? I have nothing. If I take Islam, everyone will turn away from me. Everyone will hate me. This is what happened to me. I became Muslim. All of a sudden, I became gharib. I became strange. All my friends that I partied with and I was with, they looked at me weird. It's like, oh, he's the Muslim. Oh, he became Muslim. He's crazy. He's bowing down to the, you know. My brother used to call me the bend over. Oh, you know, he's crazy, man. He gave up his girlfriend. He did this. Everyone's like, I just hear the, you know, the ch-ch-ch-ch in the university. You know, you're walking through university, first year university, walking, and all your friends from high school, like, you know, like laughing. And you're like, you know, just 20-something years old, and you know, no one. People are just shunning you because you've said, La ilaha illallah. Subhanallah. Do not fear anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that He will provide, He will give you an exit, man, from every problem. And He will provide, وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. He will provide from you. Think, are you scared because of the money? Because of the job? Because of anything that you might lose because of Islam? Allah gives you a guarantee that He will give you from where? You won't even expect it, man. You will not even expect it, where it's going to come from. It's just going to come. It's just going to come. This is Surah Talaq 65, verse 2 to 3. And as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was reported in Musnad of Imam Ahmed, the hadith, that you will never leave something for the sake of Allah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you something better in return. Allah will give it. We need to believe, man. We need to believe in this. Taib. So, I'm a new Muslim. Now what? I became Muslim. Now what? What are we going to do as a Muslim? I've just become a Muslim. I've came back to Islam. I have committed to Islam. I've returned to the deen. Now what? Well, let me give you a piece from the Quran. A lot of people think that, khalas, once I did it, I've reached what I wanted to get. I am where I wanted to get. Yes, it's like the end. I've searched and searched and searched, and finally I got it. No, this is wrong. Actually, this is just the beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Alif lam mim. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. Do people think that they will be left alone in saying that they believe and they will not be tested? Allahu Akbar. Allah is telling you. Do you think that you say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is finished? No. It's starting. You'll be tested. And that's why when you talk to any Muslim or any person who has said, today I'm going to commit to Islam, you find that actually the time of hardship begins then. Family will say, oh man, what's this beard, man? Oh man, why are you talking about salah? You going to the masjid in the morning? What happened to you? Waking up with the you know, the roosters and all that. What's wrong with you? You're weird, man. Sleep, man. It's okay. You're young. Take it easy. No. The test will start. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلِعَلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, indeed, verily, we have tested those before them. So, that Allah will know who from them is truthful. Who is sincere? Who said La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sincerely? Who believes it? And who has said it? Or who lies? Who's lying? What, you can lie with your shahada? You can lie by becoming Muslim? Yes, you can. And we will look. We will look as to why. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, we have tested those before them. That Allah will know those who are truthful and those who are liars. This is a strong word. Can we pass this test? Why have we become Muslims? Why have we committed to Islam? We need to ask ourselves this. Why are we Muslims? Is it because our forefathers are Muslims? Is it because we want to get married to a nice Muslim sister? Or the sister wants to get married to a nice Muslim brother? Is it like a cool new hip-hop movement that's become like in the States, in the USA? It's a big thing now. That it's become a whole, you know, it's like there's a whole moving culture. Actually, non-Muslims are starting to dress like the Muslims in Harlem and in the Bronx. They're, you know, they're shortening their pants and everything, and they're wearing even kanduras. We're growing beards. Be like, assalamu alaikum, aqi. And you start talking to him, you realize he's not Muslim. He is not a Muslim. And you ask him, what's up, man? Well, you know, it's like, cool, man. It's like, nice. I like, you know, this guy, Mos Def or whatever, rapper, Muslim rapper, and this and that. And it's because, I'm not questioning their niya. This is not what I'm doing. But there's a movement, and we'll discuss later on as to what's going on. But there's a movement of people that are feeling attachment to Islam sometimes for reason other than they're supposed to. And I'm not saying that this guy or his name is Ahmed or whatever, John or anything. I'm not pointing. I'm talking about in general. Shakal Aam, just in general. We cannot, as Omar radiallahu anhu said, when the Prophet ﷺ was here, we used to judge the people because Allah was revealing it to it as wahi. When he passed away, we could only judge what we see. So we only judge what we see, of course, the appearances. But we don't, obviously, try to go into the people's hearts and see what's their intention. But why are we Muslims? Is there a cultural evolution? You know, like right now, I was looking, there was an interview with, I believe his name is, he's a hip-hop artist. And I don't know, maybe you can help me out. I don't know if he's Muslim or not. Subhanallah. What is his name? Immortal Technique? You guys know, right? Is he Muslim? He's not a Muslim, but he like went to Afghanistan. He's wearing like the scarves and like, you know, the Muslim like culture. He loves it. He's talking about, you know, he's rapping about Islam and the Quran. You know, the Prophet Jesus is the most, you know, Prophet mentioned the Quran. He's got some interesting lines, right? And a lot of people are like, you know, now like the Palestinian scarf has become like a fashion trend in the West, right? Like they wear it, you know, women wear it around their neck. They wear nothing really, but they wear like the Palestinian scarf around their neck, stuff like that, you know? So a lot of people are like, it's like that, something new, hip. A lot of people are feeling from a social justice perspective, empathy. They're saying, you know, we feel bad for the Muslims. And subhanAllah, and there's been non-Muslims who have gone and died for Muslims in Palestine as a human chain, human walls, and have died because they felt like they identify. They would scream Allahu Akbar, and you know, they know mashallah and this in words and salamu alaykum and this and that. And they love Islam and they love the Muslims, but they're not Muslim. A lot of people come into Islam for, and sisters especially, for women's rights, right? They hear that Islam offers the best women's rights. And we hear all these lectures and the, and I'm not saying this is not, you know, something that I'm, but I'm just looking at analyzing different, from my experience, what I've seen and talked to people as to why people come into Islam. A lot of people come for science, right? Scientifical miracles, as I just given you one. Miracles, science, Dr. Zakir Naik, may Allah bless him and, you know, and protect him and his dawah. And logic, a lot of people that Islam makes, you know, makes sense. Right, we hear that. A lot of people say Islam makes sense. And I'm not saying I disagree with anything, but we need to be careful. Because all these things can be accepted, maybe. Or some can be debated. But the first and foremost reason for someone becoming a Muslim is should be what? What? To seek Allah, okay, but what? Hmm? To be submissive, okay. Jannah, okay. Tawheed, yes, la ilaha. Because it's the truth, man. This is the truth. There's no other way. There's no multiple ways, brothers and sisters. People are preaching today, what? Religious pluralism, right? You got yours, I got mine. You know, we hold hands, and that's it. And we can just move on in life, right? And we're all going to the same place, right? But this doesn't work, brothers and sisters. Rationally speaking and logically. Now, I don't want you to think now, look, this guy is being all like hard and, you know, he's being extremist or fundamentalist or anything. This has nothing to do with fundamentalism. This has nothing to do with anything except to, there cannot be two truths. There can be 2 days or night and day. It's either night or day. It's either night or day. It's either sun or the moon. One of them will take over the other one. You cannot have different ways to God. And that's why subhanAllah, Allah tells us, اللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Dhulumat in the Quran is plural because there's many ways to go astray. But nur is only one. There's only one right path. There's only one God. There's only one way to Him. There's only one way from the beginning of the creation of mankind, from Adam, the first person, till the last man that will live on this earth. There's only one way. And it's always been like that. Muslim is not something new. Moses, who's ethnically Jewish, was a Muslim. Jesus, who's ethnically Jewish, was a Muslim because he submitted to Allah, to God. Abraham, who was neither a Jew or a Christian or anything along those lines, he was a Muslim. And all Adam was a Muslim. And Noah was a Muslim. They're not from any of these back. He was not an Arab. Noah was not an Arab. Nor was he a Jewish. But he was a Muslim. He submitted his will to God. This is the basic distinction. طيب, so what happens when you become brothers and sisters? We need to be careful first and foremost. This is the first advice that is directly. We have to be careful of shaitan. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُونَ مُبِينَ. He is a clear enemy to you. لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان. Don't follow the steps of Satan. Why? Well, he promised that he will misguide us. Shaitan's, by the words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about what Shaitan said. That Shaitan says, قال فبما أغويتني لَأَقْعَدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاتَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. That Shaitan says that because of why you have misguided me, أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعَدَنَّ لَهُمْ, I will wait for them on the straight path, your straight path. Where will he wait? Will he wait for you in the club? Will he wait for you there drinking and doing drugs and doping? No. He doesn't need to wait for you there. He doesn't need to wait for those people. He will wait for you, you know where? On the footsteps, the steps of the masjid, so you can argue with your brother. He will wait for you in your house so you can argue with your wife, so you can divorce her. He will wait for you even in the masjid. As the Prophet ﷺ said, when people didn't straighten up the lines, and today people are walking up and down, not putting the line straight. One is there, you have to make this, you know, the split so you can put foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder. And the Prophet ﷺ said that, I saw in Salah the shayateen coming in between the spaces, man. If you do not line up the line, Allah will cause your hearts to not to be aligned. SubhanAllah, the first thing that you do when someone does these kind of things in salah is that you feel somehow weird towards it, isn't it? It's like, why is this guy doing in your salah, man? Because shaitan has come. I said, yeah, this guy is, he's like, what, look at him. SubhanAllah. So the shaitan will come, man. As the hadith says, that he runs in the blood of son of Adam. He runs in there. What does he say then? Look at this, SubhanAllah. ثُمَّ لَا أَتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَأَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَأَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Allahu Akbar. Then I will take them, I will attack them, I will come to them from the front and from the back and from their right and from their left. And you'll find most of them that they will not be thankful. Allahu Akbar, man. Look at our situation today. What? People are not happy with anything. We want more and more. How many times we say Alhamdulillah for what we have? Yani really meaning it. Not just like كيف حالك Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. No. Like really to say Alhamdulillah for whatever we have. Actually, most people, we're not thankful. SubhanAllah. And this is what shaitan is doing. He's trying every single way that he can to misguide us. And SubhanAllah, look at this. He will come from us from the front, back, right, left. And SubhanAllah, in the tafsir, Ibn Kathir mentions, may Allah be pleased with him, that he didn't mention from above. Why? Because the mercy of Allah descends from above. Shaitan cannot come from above. Allah descends His mercy from above. Shaitan can come from any other way, but not from above. Never. So Shaitan, if we look at Adam alayhi salam, he was not able actually to get Adam to commit shirk. He wants us to commit shirk. He wants the new Muslims, the existing Muslims, the one who have turned to Islam, to commit shirk. To say that there's others to be worshipped with Allah, or to go and ask others than Allah, or many other forms of shirk. He wants us, this is his main goal. But he was not able to get Adam to do that. So what did he do? He tried to get him to disobey Allah. Shaitan will try to get us to make bid'ah, to innovate, to go astray, to be disobedient. Whatever he can do, and he'll make it think sometimes that it'll get us closer to Allah. What's the proof for that? Well, it's interesting because it says in the Quran, فَوَسْوَسَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانُ قَالَ يَا آدَمُ هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَالْمُلْكِ لَا يَبْلَى. يعني he says that Shaitan, he did waswasa, he whispered to him. And he said, oh Adam, should I not guide you or show you to a tree that will give you life, everlasting life, and a kingdom that will never perish? So he didn't say, go do this. He's actually, what is he saying? He's going to get life. Actually, Adam loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muslims, when they come to the deen, they come with strong, strong attachment. It's like the concept of, you know, the phenomenon of the, you know, being zealous, the zealous convert, zealous, you know, the zealousy of a convert. You're just like so motivated and you want to do it. And the shaitan will just give you something to actually you thinking that you're actually getting closer to Allah. And this is what he did to Adam. He says, I'm going to give you a tree that will give you life forever. You can worship Allah forever. You can be in this kingdom forever. He didn't tell him that, oh, this or that. No, shaitan will not come to you and give you a bottle of vodka. It looks like vodka. It will make it look like water. He'll package it looking like water, looking it nice. زَيَّنَ لَهُمْ عَمَالَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ. He'll make it like zina, like beautified. Oh, shaitan has beautified their deeds. So Adam thought that I will be close to Allah. People today think that if I do this and that, or I can do that or this, I'll be get closer to Allah. I will become closer to Allah. It's like the Prophet ﷺ has not, he has fallen short in delivering something to us that would save us. But he said that I have not left anything out that will get you closer to Allah or save you from hellfire. I've given everything. That, and Allah says that today I've perfected your religion. And I've chosen Islam for you. People, but shaitan will tell you, no, you need more. You need to do more. That's why those people came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, I can do more. I'm not gonna sleep, I'm just gonna pray qiyam. I'm not gonna break my fast. I'm not gonna get married. They wanted to do more than Rasulullah. And he said, this is not, I pray and I sleep. I fast and I break it. I get married. Whoever doesn't follow this is not from me. Not from me. So shaitan is playing tricks. And this is, he is angry that you have committed to Islam. He is angry that you are a new Muslim. He is angry even that you are seeking, that you're thinking about becoming a Muslim. So you put doubts in you. You say, look at these people. Look at these people, what these people are doing. Look at the TV. Look, how can you want to be with these people? This is what shaitan will do. طيب. So we need to be careful of shaitan. We need to be very, very careful. Islam is simple, man. Very simple. Protect yourself. Protect your deen. The next thing, after, let's say, we get rid of this issue, and you can't really, this will be a lifelong battle. But one of the things that comes up is to the family. How do you tell your family you've become a Muslim? How do you tell your family that you have committed to Islam? How do you tell your friends? How do you call both of them to Islam? This is very hard. And a lot of people become Muslim, like myself when I became Muslim. I went to my mom and I told her, you're going to hell! She's like, what? What is people teaching you? Crazy. I literally just went like, listen, mom, there's two ways only. It's either hell or heaven. Which one are you going to take? And she's like, I didn't even tell her anything about what is Islam, this, just that. Okay, you're going to hell. This is not wisdom. It's not hikmah. Okay? It's not hikmah. Even the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't start with that. He did not start with that. It took a few years till he actually gave that call on the hill that there's an army, if there were an army behind. Okay? Till he established his trustworthiness. Till he was an established person in his community. If we just we're like a thug or something, and then all of a sudden we decided to, Allah guide us, and we didn't establish any trust, nothing, no change in behavior, and all of a sudden we just come off, you know, became Muslim. Yesterday we were boozing up and, you know, doping, and now we're going to our parents and be like, you're going to hell. It's not wisdom. So we need to look at the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the manual for da'wah, brothers and sisters. We need to look at his seerah, his life. He was established. Establish yourself. Establish your trust. Of course, at the same time, you should give da'wah. You should slowly, but be careful. Take it step by step. Of course, you should not waste time because they might die. But be firm, but be soft. Have rifq. And ask, tell them about Islam. Show them Islam in your behavior. Show them that I've been a Muslim. Actually, one of the brothers, subhanAllah, he used to beat his parents, man. He used to beat his parents. And he became Muslim. And you know what he did? He went to his mom and kissed her hands and her feet. And she's like, what? What are you doing? Are you crazy? And he kept doing that. And she finally, like, what's wrong with you? Just last week you're pounding us. And now you're doing this? Like, he's really gone nuts. And he said, no, Islam. I have become a Muslim. So imagine the impact, man. Just a few days ago, someone's beating you, and now he's kissing your hands. Allahu Akbar. Big difference. Big difference. So tell them slowly. Open it. But you need to tell them. We need to tell our parents. Actually, if you look, the prophets first always warned their families. All the Anbiya, alayhim salam, they gave da'wah to their families first. So we need to do that. Friends, it's not easy. Actually, now this advice might come as a hard advice, but sometimes you have to leave the friends. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-mar'u ala dini khalili, that the man is on the deen of his friends, of his, the people that are around him. If you find yourself that you have, alhamdulillah, guided you to Islam, but your friends around you are calling you the opposite way, you need to really reassess the relationship, because it might cause you harm. And instead of you giving da'wah, they're going to give you da'wah. And you're going to go back. And I've seen that happening too many times. Too many times it happened. That we need to really make a choice. Who do we want? Do we want Allah? Do we want the truth? Do we want God? Or do we want this dunya? Because we know very well, the same friends that we trust sometimes are the same ones who have abandoned us many times. Allah will never abandon you. Allah will never abandon you. And on the day of judgment, your friends will not be able to be with you. It'll be you and your iman, your heart, and your good deeds. So you need to reassess those relationships with the people. Are they pulling you away from Islam? You should tell them. You should talk to them. Tell them about Islam. But don't be like, oh, I'm going. Okay, mom, I'm going for da'wah. We're going to watch the game and hang around with some girlfriends. And, you know, the boys are going to drink some beers and I'll have some lemon juice. It's like, you know, you got to be careful. Because you think you're going for da'wah. But it might turn up, it to be a whole different thing. So we need to be careful with this. We need to call them to Islam. We need to tell them. We don't necessarily just have to say, okay, you dirty this and that. No. But you have to call them. But be careful as to where you put yourself in which situation. Alcohol, parties, and change your life. Can you give it up? Can we give it up? Actually, subhanAllah, I remember in the West, many new Muslims would come to the masjid drunk, man. They were still drinking. You could smell it. I remember the guy is drunk. He's talking to me. He's like this, right? And we had, yani, alhamdulillah, the brother, yani, who advised him was amazing, yeah? What did he do? Did he say, harada? No. He used the ayah about the don't come to prayer in the state of being drunk. SubhanAllah. And he slowly, and this was one of the first ayahs that was revealed about alcohol. It wasn't first the haram. No. Slowly to prepare. But people are coming drunk to the masjid. You know, Muslims are drunk because they're alcoholics from before. Right? And it's a big challenge and a big fight. But again, where do you want to go? Can we give up these things? Some people are addicted. Well, you need to go and see a detox center. People need to be careful with these things. Some people are addicted to pornography from before. Some people are addicted to drugs. All these things are addictions. Some people are addicted to women and men. And they need to detox themselves. And one of the best ways to do that, one of the best ways other than the dunya things, going to detox centers, is to dose yourself with some Quran. Listen to the Quran. To fast. Especially if it's Ramadan, or, you know, to surround yourself with good friends and good company, to go through a spiritual detox. Can it happen? Yes, because the Sahabas did it. And they were drinking it up like there's no tomorrow. And partying it before Islam. But they did it because they wanted Islam. They understood Islam. They understood the truth, and they understood that you can die. You can die anytime. Drunk driving. It happened so much. I remember myself before embracing Islam, and I was looking for Islam at the time. And I remember it was my birthday, and I went to a party, and I had a nice fancy car. And literally, I just got all crazy because I was drunk, and just decided to just run all the stoplights as fast as I can with the car. And not even look at the road, actually look up and see if I can make it. And he, don't play with your life, man. Don't play with your life. Because you don't know what's going to be taken away from you. Parties. What's the benefit? You want a party? Wait for Jannah. And we can have our own parties. Halal parties. Brothers can get together. Sisters can get together. It's nice, man. You can, something constructive. Something good can come out of it. Real relationship. Not that you're a buddy, buddy, friend, I love you. And then you drink a few and you start killing each other and beating, you know, because he looked at your girl and then, come on, man. We know this happens too many times. Does it make sense? Makes no sense. Doesn't make sense. So why we want to do that? We need to think also of these things, at the benefits and the consequences. Opposite sex relationships, I mean, girls, boys, this is one of the hard ones. We all know. It is probably one of the toughest ones. It's like, you know, Bob becomes Ahmed. He took Shahada, right? And then Ahmed, literally, right? And then Ahmed's like, he's going, and Cindy comes, hey, Bob, how are you? And like hugs him, you know what I mean? I'm not even kidding you. In first year university, when I became Muslim, I was sitting, it was like literally like a week of Islam, sitting at a computer in the computer center. And with my friend next to me. And you know, mashallah, any brothers are practicing, right? And you, and I'm looking at Bukhater, you know, they're showing me some videos. And all of a sudden, I feel from the back a nice, warm pair of hands hugging me. And a head laying against my head. And a nice voice saying, Gabriel, how are you? And I'm like, ugh! I just like jumped, you know. And obviously, you got like the brothers next to you. And it took me a while to realize because I'm so used to that, right? It's just been a week, man. And I'm like, and I pushed her, you know. She's like, oh, she didn't know I'm Muslim. She didn't see me for a while. And she's like, how are you? I'm like, you know, like this. And the brothers are looking at me. I'm all red like a lobster. And it's like, you know, like it was embarrassing. Because you know, it's like so hard. And you know, like it's like girls, you know, like especially in a lot of the cultures, people when they see each other, they kiss each other on the cheeks, right? Boys and girls, and or hug. And it's like, you know, you've been in there. You've been in that life. You know, you've gone to the parties. I used to break dance. You know, right? So it's like, you're there and the people know you or they, you know, they meet you after some time and they think you're the same. And you faced with some, I remember, you know, with some weird, you know, things. I remember Sheikh Saeed Raga, if you know him, he said they went to a meeting with some lady, and the lady, like after the end, he was like so nice, and the lady's like, here you go, you know, like shake my hand. And he's like, no, I don't shake hand. He's like, okay, I'll just hug you. And she like hugged him, you know? And she's like, because he's like, no, I don't shake hand. He's like, okay, I'll just hug you. And she's like, just hug them, you know? And subhanAllah, I mean, it's tough, man, you know, it's tough, especially living in these environments. This is actually probably one of the toughest things that we have to deal with. Give it up, how we do it. Sometimes the brothers, you know, shaking hands with like sisters or girls. It's especially in the West. Everyone wants to shake your hand. And sometimes the brothers be like, and like all kinds of techniques or like hold things in. One brother's like, you just have to hold a lot of books in your hand so your hands are full so no one will shake your hand. You know, different kind of things, right? And then you tell ladies like, sorry, I don't shake hands. You know, she's like, why not? And you have to explain to her that we respect women and, you know, this is not, you know, part of our... I mean, it's tough. Imagine you go to an interview, huh? And whatever, this is, you know, the fiqh different, whatever. I'm just talking about, I went to many interviews. And the people are like, the women are like, hey. And I'm like, you know, like the first 10 minutes. So, and alhamdulillah, it's dawah. The first 15 minutes, I have to explain as to why I didn't shake her hand. That I respect her. That she's a woman. And in Islam, women are respected. And we are not from her family to touch her. And that she's a princess, a flower. And we're not supposed to do that. And, you know, some people take it nicely. Some people are like, no, no, you have to shake my hand. Anyway, so this is a tough one. Type. Another one, But at the end of the day, listen, Annie, if you refuse these kind of things, if you tell, people can be angry at you. It's okay. As long as Allah is happy with you, it doesn't matter. As the Prophet ﷺ said, it doesn't matter who's angry. The whole world can be angry, oh Allah, as long as you are happy with me. It doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter. Actually, subhanAllah, the people will begin to respect you. The people will say, this is a person who doesn't waver. He stands his ground. He believes. He stands up for what he believes. And I know many people like that who are really respected. So, don't give in just because people might say this or that. The other thing is, brother and sister, committing to Islam. And this is a tough one. Okay, we've become Muslim. We have changed. We have come back to Islam. But what are we going to be? Just another body in this world? Alhamdulillah, mashallah, we have 1.6 billion Muslims, almost. Still, we're not doing too good. Because the Prophet said, you'll be like the foam on top of the water. Many in number, many in number. But no benefit. It's not, brothers, we need to understand, it's not the numbers, man. The quality. It's the quality of Islam that we're practicing. Committing to Islam. We need to commit. We can't just be a Muslim by Muslim, okay? We need to commit to Islam. We need to get involved in Islam. We need to live Islam. If we live Islam ourselves, it'll be a better world. If we can be good Muslims, understand Islam, we will be better people for our communities, for wherever we are. And committing to Islam is not easy. And we need to start from our prayers, from our salawat. How many of us pray Fajr in the masjid or pray Fajr at all? Many masajid. In a square area of 5 kilometers where people can either drive, 2 kilometers with their car, or walk, where there's at least 12,000 Muslims living, you have 12 people praying. I counted this morning, I was amazed. 12 people praying Salah, Fajr. How much is that out of 12,000? It's less than 1%, man. 0.001, something like that. Allahu Akbar. In a Muslim country, it's not good. Because this means you commit. Some people might say, it's not far to pray in the masjid. It's not about that. It's about our take on this. About our commitment. It's about the ajr of getting 27 times more of praying in the jama'ah. It's about getting the ajr of praying the whole night if you pray Fajr and Isha in the masjid. Praying Qiyam the whole night. It's about that. Do we not need some ajr, man? Do you not want to get more than one salah, one reward? Are we not in need of it? It's about commitment. How much do we value this? It's about how we arrange our lives that we will make sure that we go to sleep in time so we can wake up. It's about the commitment that we will schedule our life around the salawat, not the salawat around our life. This is what it is. We need to really think about this. It's important to start with a salah. If we fix our salah, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْحَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ The salah will stop the fahsha and the munkar. The salah will make us better people. So the Prophet ﷺ gives the mithal of the person who has a river and he bathes in it 5 times. Is there any dirt in him? No. This is the prayers. It will remove the sins. It will stop us. You'll feel shy, man. When at least if you commit the sins, and كُلْ إِبْنَ عَمْ خَطَاءَ Every son of Adam, he makes sins. But you feel shy. You feel that you go back to the... You can't wait for the next prayer so you can make tawbah. So you can repent. It will change your thinking. Another thing of committing into Islam is the Muslim identity. The beard, the hijab, the practice, the many things. I'm not saying this is what makes Islam necessarily. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that do this or do... I'm just trying to look at it from the perspective of understanding. Because Today, it's a lot of people give these things up. And I'm not getting to fiqh of what and this and that. But, you know, brother who have a beard and then he goes for a job interview and people say, okay, you have to shave your beard. All right? And why? Why would we do that? What kind of people are these who are asking us to just shave it? Because, you know, he's not going to get us into a job. It's like, come on, man. So, and he's Muslim. So you tell me if Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come here with his beard and he would apply for this job, you would tell him, shave your beard? No. See, this is how we look at things. Again, I'm not going as to what and this and, you know, fard or sunnah or wajib or, no. Just the principle, man. The principle that we need to, and people are asking us to compromise everything in our deen. Everything. And they're not willing to compromise anything. Just not too long ago, someone told me that this is out of code of conduct in our company. This is in a Muslim country. And I said to him very kindly, and he's non-Muslim, I said, my dear, you know, Sheikh Khalifa has a beard, man. Come on. And he really felt embarrassed. Because this is, alhamdulillah, mashallah, you know? What is, can he go to anyone? Can he go to Sheikh Khalifa and tell him, you know? A'udhu billah. Alhamdulillah, you know? Alhamdulillah, mashallah. We can say. And may Allah bless Sheikh Khalifa. Because I can use him as an example, a living example, that don't tell me. Because he's following the sunnah. And I'm also following the sunnah. So, hijab, right, this is a big issue. Because now it's a bit of a different thing. There's no debate whether it's, you know, wajib or sunnah. This is fard. This is a must for the sisters. But sisters today, you know, people are, oh, you have to take a hijab. Look at this car. What is this? Look at that. How can, you know, subhanAllah. This is not, we can't compromise our deen. If these people are not willing to take us, then you know what? Maybe this is not a good place for us in this job. Someone else will take it. Someone else will do it. Who will respect you. Who will take it for who you are. Because you believe in this and you are firm on this. And as Allah says, whoever fears Allah, and Allah will make a way from him. You don't have to work in selling alcohol. You don't have to work in the places that are involving haram. Are you telling us to quit? And Allah will provide. Allah will give you an exit. Allah will give you an exit. Put Allah before anyone. You'll see what happens. Put Allah before anyone. You'll see what happens. And a beautiful ayah from the Quran, because this is also a trick of shaitan. Because the first thing I would say, okay, I have this interview, and I know you'll ask me to do this or to do that, and I have to compromise my Islam. If I don't, then I'm not going to have money, and I'm going to be poor, I can't get married. Allah says in the Quran, الشيطان يعيدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء والله يعيدكم مغفرة منه وفضلا والله واسع عليم. That shaitan, he calls you to poverty. And he orders you, the fahsha and the munkar, the evil things, the bad things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he calls you to what? To forgiveness from him. And his fadl, his blessings. Allahu Akbar. Shaitan is telling you, man, if you don't do this, you're going to be poor. You're going to have to go, you know, here. You're going to do this or that. You can't get married. You can't. Shaitan is making us fear this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's calling us to forgiveness. To blessing from him. He is the one who will give us. And we need to believe in this. Look what happens if we believe in this. The next point, brothers and sisters, and advice, and this is a tough one. It's seeking knowledge. Learning about Islam. And this is my personal advice. With who and how. And this is a big one. Who will you follow and how? Why? Who can we look at so we can learn? And the most important thing is, brothers and sisters, and one of the scholars, he said that I do not take knowledge from anyone who doesn't practice what he preaches. Now, of course, this is, has to be taken with a grain of salt, because we're all human beings and we make sure that we don't look at the scholar's fault all the time, because they're only human beings. And if we will do that, we'll never gonna learn anything, because everyone has faults. So we need to be careful. We need to be careful. But at the same time, we need to be very, very diligent as to how we learn. Because knowledge makes the difference. The knowledge of Islam is very deep. And sometimes people get sucked in different parts because of the lack of knowledge or because of different issues that people have been calling him to. So be careful of jumping into things with emotions. Be careful of being pulled into trouble. We don't follow people. We follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we follow these people on how they follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't follow these people because they're superstars, because his name is this and he appears on TV or that. No. We don't do that. We need to follow based on how they follow Islam. This is the criteria. As Umar Khattab said, what if I will be astray? What if I will not do the proper things? And the Sahaba said, don't worry. We'll take care of it. So we need to be careful who we take our knowledge from, how we take our knowledge. The deen is deep. It's not shallow. Don't rush into things. Take basics, man. Be good Muslims. Take basics. People try to jump into advanced science of things and they can't even throw the paper in the garbage. A basic thing in Islam. They can't even smile. A basic thing in Islam. But they are advanced, or they're going to advanced levels of different Islamic sciences. We need to prioritize. We need to look at the seerah. We need to look of how Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the sahabas. We need to look how they learn manners before things. How they learn iman before ilm. We need to look at these things. This is not my thinking. I'm telling you. Look at the seerah. Without a doubt. Look at the ahadith that I'm quoting, the ayats. I'm not making these things up. People need to go back to the Quran and the Sunnah. We will have less problems in the world today. Because people without knowledge are being pulled emotionally into this place and that place, and they're being promised this and that if they do this and this, and causing problems. And this is not Islam. This is not Islam. Islam is calculated based on proofs. And we need to be careful with that. Learn and apply. Wallahi, a small thing, if you learn and apply, it's better than a million things that you learned and it's just sitting there. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ هُمِلُوا التَّوْرَاتِ The mithal, the example of those who have carried the Torah. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوا. They did not benefit from it, they did not care. كَمَثَلُ الْهِمَارِ. Like the donkeys. We want to be like donkeys with books on our backs. Because you can take knowledge, but don't apply it. We can learn this and this and this, but we don't even know how to say salam alaikum to our brothers on the street, man. Smile, be nice, cutting each other with the cars, parking, you know, taking 3 parking spots. Flashing, pushing each other. I mean, subhanAllah. Fighting for a chair in the mall. One chair, man. Allah. SubhanAllah. It's like, no, I've got more muscle in here. I have to show everyone. Cussing each other out in the masjid. SubhanAllah. We need to really. And one of the best things, subhanAllah, we need to look in the seerah as how Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the Arabi, the Bedouins. How he dealt with them. This is, subhanAllah, the lessons that you can draw from this are precious. how he dealt with a lot of these people, how their hearts changed. We need to learn these things, subhanAllah. So we need to learn and apply it. And we need to learn the full picture. We can't just learn parts of things, because if we only know bits and pieces from here and there, people can misguide us. People, actually, the way to misguide, the most common way, is to take things out of context. Take things out. Today you have those people who will take things out of context to make people do bad things. And today you have those same, different kind of people who will take things out of the context and make people leave Islam, like, it's, oh, you don't even have to do this. You know, it's like liberal, you know, it's just like, eh, you don't have to. Doesn't mean, you know, people are using the same technique to go in this extreme or that extreme. And this is not from Islam. So we need to understand the full picture of things. Giving da'wah with who, how. I mean, as Muslims, if we accepted Islam, we need to spread it. We need to tell people about Islam. We need to look. There's so many, alhamdulillah, like especially here, mashallah, there's so many centers that you can volunteer. The Awqaf has many things that you can volunteer for. And we need to do something. We need to do some projects. I know there's some brothers who have taken it upon themselves to initiate projects, to propose projects. And I'm actually meeting someone just after this lecture, you know, to see his project that he himself started and put his earn money and time to do it. And we need to find what we're good, and we need to do this for Allah. Because on Day of Judgment, you're going to ask, what did you do for Allah? What did you do for Islam? Someone be like, I'm not good at that. Okay, type. Give your money to a project. Do something. Support someone who's good at it. Everyone can do something. So do some da'wah. Type. Another thing, very important advice. Getting involved in different groups and debating. Brother, stay away from this, man. This is advice from me. Seek the truth. Stay away from these people who are always like this and that, and if they have no proof, it's just from you feel like there's some hatred. Be careful. Be careful. Of course, the truth is one and the right way is one, but be careful. Be careful, because it's gonna put hatred in your heart or something that you're not supposed to have. People are always like, these guys, that guy, call, let's do it here, there, and these people. Be careful, especially as a new Muslim. If you have no knowledge, people today, I find, with no knowledge, and they're like, oh, this guy is bid'ah, and this guy is like that, and this guy is dalin, and this guy. SubhanAllah, who are you to say that? Let the scholars debate that. You are no one to say these things. People get caught up hearing this lecture, that lecture, and automatically this is the ultimate truth. That this group and that group are outside, and this guy is this. Allahu Akbar. People are making takfir on each other and these kind of things. How come? Who are we? People don't even read Arabic. They can't even, you know, they're like make pointing fingers and saying this guy's this guy that, this. Allahu Akbar. Do not get caught into this. Learn Islam, man. Learn the basics. Focus. This is another way of shaitan to deviate people. You get them busy in this. Debating. Going online, forums. You are this and you're like this. SubhanAllah. If you look, subhanAllah, the best debaters from our ummah, if you look at the imams, like Imam Abu Hanifa, one of the debaters, Sheikh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, Imam Ghazali, how they debated. Imam Shafi, how he debated. He said, I wanted the truth come from the other side, actually. He said, never went into a debate just like trying to, I'm going to destroy this guy for the sake of the truth only. But people are like, oh, you call me this, I'm going to show you. Go on Facebook, just hit them hard, you know? And then you're like, oh, yeah, he didn't respond. Yeah, I give it to him, you know? It's like, come on, man. And maybe the things that you said are not even correct. And just because you heard this sheikh or that person saying this and this, you've taken it upon himself to destroy everyone else who's not like that. So this is not healthy for us, actually. Not at this stage, not at being new Muslims, coming back to Islam. We need to be careful. The truth is the truth, yes. We need to stick by the truth. We will not compromise the truth. But be careful that your heart does not become evil and inclined towards just fame and debate and putting people down. just for the sake of your own uplifting and ego. That people say, oh yeah, man, you gave it to him, man. You really smoked him. And you're like, yeah, I did, man. Didn't I, huh? I really did. So be careful. This is actually very okay, another thing is being in the spotlight. A lot of times people, you know, start recording videos and Facebook and this and that, and they become, and people start saying, Sheikh, how are you? By the way, I'm not the Sheikh. And you know, people are like, and then you're like, you hear it 10 times, 15 times, 20 times, and all of a sudden like, hey, maybe I am a Sheikh, you know? It's like, oh, it must be true. Everyone says it, you know? And then you start, you know, okay, first you're like, I'm not going to answer fiqh questions, you know? And then people keep asking you, oh, Sheikh, you know, we have a question. What, you know, what's the fiqh of, you know, this or that? And like, no, no. And then all of a sudden, like, you're like, man, maybe, you know, no one's answering. I should answer, you know? And then you start answering from your own. And then, like, people are like, Sheikh, Sheikh, and it's, you know, blowing. And you're like, you're misguiding people sometimes, subhanAllah. Really? And this is very, you know, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Everyone's got a voice today. Anyone can get up in any of these social media things and say something. You know? Sheikh this, Sheikh that. You know, Ukhti Sheikha. I mean, it's full of, you know, like, Sheikh Google. Right? And it's like, so, I'm not saying we can do da'wah on these things, but be careful. What I'm trying to say in the end is be careful of the heart. Check your intention every time before you click that post button. Before you are making a video or whatever it is, make sure that your intention is sincere. And the other things, I know there's not too much time. Appearances versus internal realities. This is something different, right? Very, very important. People can appear like, mashallah, you know? And people come and they say, mashallah, brother, you know, because you're a new Muslim, you must be so good. And inside of you, like, man, it's like this guy doesn't know what I'm talking about. And one of the scholars said, one of the teachers said the beautiful thing. He said that, look, people, when people come to him and they say, mashallah, Sheikh, you're so good, he said, I laugh at their face. Because if I deceive him so easily, imagine how easily shaitan deceives them. Right? If I, with my image, deceive them that they think I'm so pious, imagine how easily shaitan can deceive them. So we got to be careful with appearances versus what's really inside. Of course, the two have to meet somewhere. That yes, you should look pious and this and that, but the inside has to match that. It's impossible that the two have to, it will be different. At least if something is wrong inside, yani, you need to be aware of it and fight it. Because of course, no one's good. No one can sit here and say that, yeah, you know, come to me, I'll give you some barakah, you know, from my piety, you know. It's not like that. It's not like that. This doesn't exist. And we all have evil inside of us and sins, lots of sins. So let our sins humble us, actually. Let our sins humble us. Remember your sins. Remember your sins. Let it humble you. And, of course, very important thing, cultural Islam versus Islamic culture. This is two different things. People become accustomed to Islam, mashallah, in a country like this, adhan, masjids, people, you become, Islam becomes just like a thing. And this is becomes Islamic culture, like a culture Islam. Islamic culture is different. You can have Islamic culture. You can have things that are taken from Islam. As long as your culture, the urf, doesn't go against Islam. Islam has nothing against culture. Islam upholds culture. But this is Islamic culture. Culture that matches and agrees with Islam. Culture that is taken from Islam. And there are some cultures, with all due respect, that just do not match Islam. Islam and these cultures cannot have anything in common almost. And there are a lot of these kind of cultures. And we need to be careful. That yes, sometimes we might need to change some things in our cultural practices so that we don't contradict Islam. We need to be aware of that. We need to know that we are not American Muslims. We are not Canadian Muslims. We are not Indian or Emirati or Pakistani Muslims. We are Muslim American. We are Muslim Pakistani, Muslim Emirati. We are Muslim first. This is our identity. We are Muslims. We say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Not La ilaha Muhammad Rasulullah, wa ana min al-Hind or Pakistan. No. We say, we are Muslims first. This is Islam. And we shouldn't allow these differences, because it's the beauty that Allah has made us tribes and nations, لِتَعْرَفُوا, that we know each other. إِنَّ أَقْرَمْ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, the closest to Allah, إِنَّ أَقْرَمَكُمْ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, it is the one in taqwa. So let's not look down on each other, like, hey, this guy, you know, this guy this guy from here, this guy there, look at this guy, this nation, that. No, we have to be careful with that. This is also a trick from shaitan. And very important, I'm going fast by the points, I'm sorry, I'll take just about 10 minutes. The submission, Islam calls for submission. And we need to take that versus the trends and ideologies that are going around there. Following the sunnah in a difficult time, it's not easy to follow the sunnah today. We need to make sure that we follow submission. Today, a lot of people are calling to Islam, but from different ideologies, from different philosophies. And it might be that people are trotting that path, and then they find something that doesn't agree with what they've conditioned themselves to believe about Islam. And then they fall out, because they say, oh, I thought that it's supposed to be like this. How did you think that it's supposed to be like that? Oh, but I thought, I think, you think, he thinks, she thinks, everyone thinks. But what does Islam say? This is why, as I said before, no one likes to get up at 4 in the morning to go pray Fajr. It's a fight, it's a struggle, till you find the sweetness. There might be a point where you actually enjoy it. But you submit. People would say you're crazy that you starve yourself for 1 month in Ramadan. We've heard that so many times. You're going to fast for 1 month? You're crazy. Right? But we submit. It's not easy. It's hard, man. It's tough. It's hot. You're hungry. But you do it. You submit. Right? But we need to understand that we submit. First and foremost, things should be because Allah said so. Yes, we can find many hikmahs behind things. People are asked many times, why you guys don't eat pork? And people will be like, well, you know, pork, man, the meat got some worms and like, you know, all these things, right? And around that. And then a person will be like, yeah, but that was in the past. Today we have this technology and that technology. It clears the meat up and it's fresher than a cooked lamb. And you'll be like, huh. So what are you going to tell him, you know? He can give you all the scientific and he'll give you like the, you know, the chain of like chemistry and he'll put a nice board with like showing you the transformation, how it's got, you know, processed and all that. And you're like, ugh. And he'll be like, so what do you have to say? No, it's not because of that. Yes, there's many hikmahs and benefits for it. But it's Allah has told us that we don't eat it. We don't eat it. Allah told us, Dhuhr, 4 rakat, Fajr 2, Maghrib 3. Why Maghrib 3? Not 4 or 2. Why it's odd, not even? I mean, Allah said so. You can be like, well, you know, when you do this and that, and this movement or that movement, 3, 4, 5, numbers, people start getting to things that it doesn't. Allah said so. Yes, there's many. I'm not saying there's no hikmah. There's actually hikmah for most things. There's reason for most things. But that's not our starting point. Our starting point is, because we know this is the truth, and Allah says, Allah knows, so we submit. We submit to Allah. Yani, we need to be careful. طيب, and of course, a very interesting advice that I can give you, and I need to give this advice to myself first, but a lot of times we're confused. We don't know this or that, this understanding that. We need to take the hadith of the Prophet. And he said that, يعني الحلال بين والحرام بين وبينهما يعني متشابهات. That halal is clear and haram is clear, and between them there's متشابهة. There's things that can be maybe, maybe not, yes, no. It's not clear. يعني لا يعلمهم كثير من الناس, that a lot of people, they don't know it, these things. And he says, Prophet ﷺ says that between these two there is something that people don't know. It's doubtful, right? But he who avoids these doubtful, ambiguous matters clears himself in regards to his religion and his honor. And he who falls into ambiguous matters eventually falls into that which is haram, like the shepherd who pastures around sanctuary but grazes in this place. So halal is clear, haram is clear, between there can be mutashabih. can be maybe, maybe not. So the Prophet ﷺ advised people stay, and this is advice for myself, yani, because this is one very hard. Because whenever we hear that, okay, maybe this, maybe that, it can be halal or it can be haram, right? There's sometimes opinions like that. The one says haram, one says halal. Stay away. It's better to stay away. Just stay away. There's other things we can do. There's many other things. This is, it will save you, your honor, and your deen. This is my advice to myself first, because this is something that is very hard. Because whenever we hear an opinion that matches with what we like, we would like to follow that opinion. True or not? So this is something important. طيب. I want to end up with a few things. Be careful, and I give you to you right now. Be careful, number one, as new Muslims, be careful of missionaries. The world is now full of people calling to things that are not true. We have missionaries in many places, and they're coming, infiltrating our families, our the Muslims, and calling them to other than Allah. Make sure you are careful of this. They have missionaries have entered Saudi Arabia, have entered our country, have entered every country with a goal, with a mission to take people away from the light of Islam, to challenge and ruin the image of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to be careful. This is, we need to be aware of this. We need to know, we need to stick to the basics of Islam. If we meet these kind of people, that we call them and we show them that La ilaha illallah. No one can go against La ilaha illallah. No one can defeat La ilaha illallah in an argument, in anything. But this, that, no, La ilaha illallah. Argue with that. Well, but Jesus and this happened and that and this priest or La ilaha illallah. No one can beat, there's no God worthy of worship except Allah. No one. Period. Stick to your basics. The other thing is, create a state of mind that asks questions but doesn't question. What's the difference between asking questions and questioning? There's a big difference. Asking question is seeking knowledge. Questioning is actually you have a wrong intention. Because you might not agree with something and you're like, why this? Why that? You start going around, you know, around flip and flop. No. Make sure the intention in your heart. We should ask questions. We should know. But ask questions, don't question. There's a difference. People are trying to build critical thinking. There is a difference between critical thinking and rational thinking. Critical thinking, you start from the mode of criticizing everything. Rational thinking, you look at the proofs. Because people might give you proof, and the critical thinker will be like, he'll criticize your proof even though if it's 100%. Be like, well, but I don't agree with this because my mom and my dad, they did that, and everything's criticized. This is not a rational and healthy mentality. There's a difference. Rational thinking is based on rational, calculated proofs and understanding. And the difference in the end, just like it's the intention. How is your heart? Why are you getting involved in this? Is it to know more or is it to argue and to prove someone wrong? This is very important. And the last thing, brothers and sisters, is Alhamdulillah, Allah has guided us to Islam. Alhamdulillah, we need to be careful. Because, I mean, who has it guaranteed? The Prophet ﷺ used to say, Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Oh Allah, the one who flips the hearts, keep my heart steady on your deen. He used to pray this. And he's praying as Rasulullah ﷺ. How about us? We need to pray to Allah to keep our hearts steady on the deen. We need to pray to Allah because we don't want to. This is the most beautiful thing we have in our life. There's no purpose to life without Islam, man. Islam is our purpose in life. Al-ma'natul wujud, the meaning of creation is Islam. Submission to the Creator, love for the Creator, mercy from the Creator, dedication and your life to the Creator. So we need to think about this. We need to be careful because we don't know. There's no guarantee. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on the straight path, to protect us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us blessings and mercy and guide us always. And we always say, اِحْدِنَا صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ every day in our salawat. اِحْدِنَا صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. And if I've said anything wrong, this is from myself. I try to back up what I said with the ayats from the Quran and the hadith. If I said anything wrong, this is from myself. If I said anything good, this is from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and make us and accept this from for His sake, sincerely. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the evil things of our nafs, the shaitan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the to stay on the straight path. To stay on the straight path of Islam, and that we benefit Islam, and that we work for Islam, and that we tell others about Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Jazakumullah khair. Wa subhanakum bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.